it's all about, isn't it? And that's why we have church. Actually, if you were to take that away, there's no need for us to have church. And I'm thankful that beyond the cross is a tomb that is empty. And by the way, I've been to that tomb, and I've got news for you. It's empty. Okay? It's empty. He's not there. He's in heaven right now. He's alive. He's living. I'd like you to take your Bibles with me this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24. Luke, chapter number 24. And if you are able to this morning, would you stand with us as we read together a portion of the Word of God, Luke chapter 24. And encourage you also to find in your Bibles the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we know of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as the resurrection chapter of the Bible. Luke chapter 24, I want to begin at verse number 1. And it reads, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words." Now, I believe the Bible. I believe it just like God said it. He's not here, but he's risen. Let's go to the Lord this morning in prayer. And as we pray this morning, let's take just a moment of time to yield our hearts unto the Lord. We sure do need to hear from him today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your presence here this morning. We've been encouraged this morning as we have sung together these hymns, reminding us of your resurrection. We've been challenged with this special song that beyond the cross is a tomb that is empty. And now we have read in the Word of God how he's not here, he's risen. And Lord, I pray that you would take that thought and those words. There's somebody here today that needs to hear from you. There's somebody here today that has brought a load of burdens and they're too big. God, I thank you that they're not too big for you. Lord, I thank you that you're a living Savior. And Lord, this morning, you know every need in every heart. And we ask this morning that you would minister at the point of need. Would you be uplifted, honored, and glorified in this day? We pray in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I have often thought that some of the most glorious words in all of the Bible are these very words that we read just a moment ago in verse number 6. He is not here, but he's risen. Now, for the disciples, this was a time of great confusion. Jesus had been crucified. They've seen from a distance the body of the Lord Jesus Christ taken down from that cross. They've witnessed as that body was laid in the tomb. And here in the passage that we read about this morning, certain women came early on Sunday morning to the tomb. They came to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they arrived, they found the stone was rolled away. Then they entered into the tomb. And the Bible says they found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were much perplexed. They were confused. Then two men stood by them in shining garments. And the Bible tells us these were angels. "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" The angel spoke to these women. "He's not here. He's risen." Then the angels reminded the women of the promises of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would be crucified. He would be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He would be crucified. And yet the third day he would rise again. The message of the resurrection is central to the message of Christianity. It's the message that separates Christianity from every other religion. Buddha died. He was laid in a grave. He's still in that grave. Muhammad died, but he had no power over death. Hare Krishna died. They were but men. They died and they remained. But death could not hold Jesus Christ. That's what we preach. That's what we believe. The resurrection was of such importance that 40 days following the resurrection, Jesus spent with the disciples. He was showing the disciples by, as the Bible says, many infallible proofs that he was alive. Now, I want you for just a moment to keep your place in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. I want you to turn forward to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we call this chapter the resurrection chapter of the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to begin reading here at verse number 1. Paul the Apostle states, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all," Paul says, "he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." The resurrection was so crucial. In Luke chapter 24, following the resurrection, there were two disciples. If you would go back to that passage, there were two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. As they're walking and talking about some of the things that they've experienced over the last few days, the Lord Jesus appeared suddenly in their midst and began to walk with them. Look with me in verse 15 of Luke 24. "And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. As he walked with them, he began to teach them." Skip to verse number 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And I've often thought what a blessing these two disciples on the road to Emmaus had, as Jesus Christ himself began to open their eyes and their understanding to the scriptures. Notice then in verse number 31, "And their eyes were opened, they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." And so for 40 days, the Lord appears and then he disappears, and he's proving to the disciples that he's just as real as he's always been, and that he's always going to be there with them, and that when they would least expect it, he would be in their presence. And I've got news for you today. He's right here in the midst of Valley Bible Baptist Church, and this is his church, and he's here this morning in our midst. I want you to see then also how he appeared to the disciples in the upper room. Look in verse 36. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Verse number 39. He said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And then in verse number 44, he taught these disciples in the upper room. He said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And by the way, we must have him as our teacher if we're to understand the word of God. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance, remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Jesus so patiently taught them, so patiently manifested himself to them over that period of 40 days. He left no doubt. There's more proof of the resurrection than any court case that has ever been won. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. He appeared at various times and in various locations to the apostles, and he taught them. He was there in their midst. He knew that Christianity hinged upon this truth. Friend, if you could ever prove the resurrection false, everything that Christianity stands for is false. We may as well lock the doors and go home, because all we have in Christianity is a philosophy that's no different than the philosophies of the religions of the world. But friend, we have proof of a living Savior. If the resurrection is true, which I believe with all of my heart that it is true, and I know that it's true because he lives in my heart today, if the resurrection is true, every atheist must bow his knee to Jesus. Every agnostic must admit that Jesus is the only door. Every person from every religion must bow to Jesus and admit that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Every sinner must come by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the world must proclaim Jesus as God. Now, we believe that Jesus is alive this morning. We believe he's living. We believe that after his death upon the cross, he was laid in the tomb, and 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. We believe that he spent 40 days with the apostles, teaching them, guiding them. And then we believe that he ascended to heaven. We believe that he is there today by the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. We believe that he's coming again for his saints. And then we believe that he is coming again to earth later with his saints to establish his reign forever and ever. And we believe, because he is alive today, that he will rule as King of kings and Lord of lords, that he is God blessed forever. Death could not hold him in the grave. He's not here. He's risen. Friends, that means you've got to do something about Jesus. You can't run from him. You can't hide from him. You can't ignore him. You can't live your life as if he does not exist. No, you've got to do something with Jesus Christ. And the resurrection proves that to each and every one of us. As we consider the resurrection this morning, I want to give you four very simple thoughts that have been a blessing to me through the years concerning his resurrection. First of all, the resurrection of Christ offers proof. See, the resurrection of Christ proves the very word of God. It proves the scriptures to us this morning. I want you to look again, Luke chapter 24 and verse number 6. The angels spoke to these women who came to the tomb that morning. They said to these women, he is not here, but is risen. Notice this statement. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and to be crucified, and the third day to rise again. Jesus spoke those words before he ever came to Jerusalem and was falsely accused and arrested and crucified. He said, I'm going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men. I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified, but I will rise again. I want you to notice in Luke chapter 24, verse 25, as he spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Notice this statement beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I've said this many, many times. The Bible is a book about Jesus. All of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus. All of the Bible is a love letter from God to man. All of the Bible proves that Scripture is real. All of the Bible speaks, and Jesus taught them through Moses and all the Scriptures how he would die, how he would be buried, how he would rise again. Notice in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, to the disciples in the upper room, he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, not one jot, our one tittle of Bible prophecy will remain unfulfilled." All that God spoke in the Old Testament must come to pass. It must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And Jesus said, "They are they which testify of me." Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day." The Bible teaches that Jesus would come into the world. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Old Testament scriptures told us of the incarnation, the God, Emmanuel, would come and dwell amongst men. The scriptures then pointed to the fact that he would be crucified, that he would die. Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 speak of that crucifixion. But the Bible also told us that he would rise again. Jesus himself gave the sign of Jonah, that Jonah would spend 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And just as Jonah spent that time in the belly of the whale, the Son of Man would be crucified, and he would spend 3 days and three nights in death. But up from the grave, he would rise. The Bible prophesied that. The Bible foretold that. And my friend, the resurrection of Jesus Christ verified the Bible. It proved the Bible to be true in every aspect. But you see, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proves the very person of Jesus. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 4, he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection proved Jesus to be God, separating him from all other religious leaders. The resurrection proved him to be holy and sinless. I've got news for you. If there was one sin in the life of Jesus, he would still be in the tomb today. But there was no sin. He was perfect and holy in every capacity. Death could not hold him. Now keep your place in Luke chapter 24. Turn again to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, you'll see here the importance of the resurrection, how it offers proof. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. Paul the apostle said, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." Verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain, is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised." Now skip to verse 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins." Verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." See, the resurrection this morning offers to us proof. It proves the very Word of God. It proves the very person of Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, this has been an encouragement to me personally. The resurrection of Christ offers power. See, I believe in a God that created everything from nothing. I believe in a God that spoke this world into being by his power. I believe in a God that has all power, all authority. And a God that creates life and a God that sustains life can have power over death. The resurrection of Jesus speaks of a power this morning, and it's a power for salvation. If you're saved this morning, you didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, in fact, the Word of God says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." If you are saved this morning, there was a time you were dead. You were spiritually dead. You were lost. You were without hope in this world. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been brought to life. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he declares it this way. 1 Corinthians 15, look with me in verse number 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." That speaks of that power for salvation. Now, Paul the Apostle gave his testimony of salvation in the book of Philippians chapter 3. He said, "I was very religious, I was very zealous, but what things were gained to me, those I counted but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." And he says, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is the law, but that which is by faith of Christ." And Paul speaks of that salvation that came to him on the road to Damascus through the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible's filled with examples of those that have been saved by his power. I think of John chapter 4, the woman at the well. Here's a woman that has been married 5 times and was now living in a sinful relationship. And yet she met the Lord Jesus Christ that day in John chapter 4, and her whole life was changed. I think about the demoniac of Gadara in Mark chapter 5. Here was a man that was bound by chains of demonic activity. Here's a man that had no power to release himself, yet when Jesus showed up on those shores of Gadara, this man running to Jesus fell before Jesus, and Jesus spoke the word and the demons would flee. Here's a man that had been torn day and night in the tombs, and now meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole life has changed, and he's clothed and in his right mind for the first time in years. Now that is the power of the gospel. I think about the thief on the cross. He was there, he deserved to die. And yet at the last moment of his life, he turned to the Lord Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom." Here's a man that didn't come down from the cross to be baptized. Here's a man that at the last moment had no hope, yet when he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, he by faith was saved and met Jesus, and his whole life was changed, though it was just a short moment before he would enter into eternity and be there in the presence of Jesus Christ. I think of the palsied man. He was born by four in Mark chapter 2. They brought him to Jesus, but by reason of the crowd, they could not make their way to Jesus. They made their way to the top of the roof. And they opened the roof and let this man down by Jesus. And Jesus simply spoke the words, seeing their faith, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He's changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We baptized last Sunday night, and baptism gives the testimony of that power, of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he gives testimony of what happens when one comes to know Jesus Christ. He's buried with Christ. He's dead to his old life. He's buried with Christ, and now he's raised to walk in a new life. My friend, the resurrection of Christ shows that power for salvation. And it shows the power then to live the Christian life. You can't live the Christian life in your flesh. You're going to fail and fall short. But Paul the Apostle said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And Paul said, not only have I been saved by that resurrection power, but I've been changed by that resurrection power, and that resurrection power gives me the ability to live for Jesus Christ. Paul lived and served with great power. He said to the church at Corinth, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, that your faith should not be in the power of man or the philosophy of man, but it be in the power of God. You know, consider what the resurrection did for Paul. It changed this man that had murdered Christians. It changed him into a man that now gave his whole life to serve Jesus. Consider what it did for Peter. Peter, before the cross, denied the Lord Jesus Christ. But after the resurrection, Peter is the one that preached on the day of Pentecost, the power of God. He boldly witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, because of Christ's resurrection, there's power to overcome sin, power to overcome habits, power to overcome addictions. There's life-changing power in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's power to serve. How can you explain Saul, who became Paul? How can you explain Peter, who boldly preached on the day of Pentecost? How can you explain, I mentioned to you, Brother To in Cambodia, a Buddhist monk who had no change in his life, bound by alcohol, marriage torn apart, looking for something in his life that Buddhism couldn't give him. But when he met Jesus Christ, his life was changed. And he became a new man. And God put his home together again. And today, this former Buddhist monk is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you explain the thousands of lives that have been delivered from sin and gloriously saved, and lives have been changed, and Jesus now lives in the heart to make a new home, a new place, a new family? How do you explain it? Well, it's resurrection power that Jesus gives. The resurrection of Christ offers power. Now go with me again to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. The resurrection of Christ gives a purpose. Notice what Jesus said in verse 46 to these disciples. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. During that 40 days where Jesus appeared off and on to the disciples, on at least five different occasions, he gave to them the commission right here in verse 47, that repentance, remission of sin, should be preached in his name among all nations. He said in Matthew chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all people, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In John 20, verse 21, then said he to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Friends, here's what the resurrection does for us. We have a story to tell to the nations. It's a story of great love, God's great love. A God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We have a story to tell of the incarnation, how God became man, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. A story how the God of the universe entered into the realm of mankind, Emmanuel, God with us. We have a story to tell how Jesus lived a holy, perfect, sinless life, and how he in life loved and pursued sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We have a story to tell about the cross, how Jesus came to his own received him not. how he would be hated and rejected of men. He would be mocked and beaten and crucified. He would go to that cross, and from the cross he would look out upon all of those that had mocked him and pierced him. And he would say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He would look across the ages to Brian McMahon, to you, and, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." We have a story to tell of Jesus, who on the cross was made to be sin for us, though he knew no sin, that we might be redeemed, that we might be forgiven, how he would shed his blood, and without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sin. We have a story to tell about God's wrath that was poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin, how he suffered our death, and God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And friend, I have no greater love to tell you about than the God of the universe that would go to the cross and die for you because he would so love you. But friend, it didn't end there. He died. He was placed in the tomb. There was no breath. There was no heartbeat. But death could not hold him in that grave. If Jesus had no power over death, then friends, there is nothing else that would matter in this world. This Bible could not be trusted. But he's alive. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. We have a message. Go tell your friends. Go tell your neighbors. Go tell your coworkers, your loved ones. He's alive. Go to your city, to your community, go to all the world. That's why we're having a missions conference April the 24th through the 28th, because there are people all over this world that need to hear how Jesus died, was buried, but he rose again to give the gift of eternal life. The world needs to hear. You see, the resurrection gives us a purpose this morning. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58, that resurrection chapter, Paul concluded this chapter with this thought, "Therefore, because of the resurrection, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's the resurrection of Christ that gives us that hope and that purpose. So the resurrection gives a purpose. But I want to conclude with one thought this morning that's so important. The resurrection serves as a promise. I want you to go with me one more time to 1 Corinthians 15. See, Christ is the first fruits. We read that a moment ago in verse number 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. And because Christ is the first fruits, we read in verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But look with me in verse number 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. Because of Christ's resurrection, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible should have put on incorruption, this mortal should have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Death has been the horrible enemy of man. Everyone in this room has been affected by death. Every home, every family has experienced it. And by the way, if Jesus tarries, every person in this room will pass that journey of death. So then death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But what the resurrection of Christ means to us today is Christ has defeated death. And here, as we read, it speaks of a coming rapture where the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. My friends, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it offers to you and I hope beyond this life. And it's a hope and a comfort that all the rest of the world does not know. And friend, when I understand what Jesus has done for me, I owe my life to Him. I owe everything to Him. See, I've been bought by His blood. My life is not my own to do with as I want. I don't belong to me. I belong to Jesus. He's redeemed me, but He's coming back for me. He's coming back for those that know Him. The resurrection of Christ. Aren't those glorious words? He's not here. He's risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The resurrection offers proof that the Word of God, the Scripture, is true. It offers proof to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection offers power. There's not a person that He cannot save and does not have the ability to save. For indeed, He defeated death. He can sure raise you to life and give you a home in heaven. It offers power to change your life. The resurrection gives you a purpose to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? That Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. The resurrection offers for you a promise this morning, a hope of a future resurrection. I want to put in a plug here before we close for tonight, because tonight we're going to carry this thought a little bit further and just show us tonight what the resurrection of Christ does as we look at our loved ones who've gone on before and the hope that God gives to us through His resurrection. Like for a moment this morning,